The Gemara in Makis. The Gemara in Makis goes like this. Everybody knows the Gemara. We know that Rabbi Akiva, with all the Tanoim working the Derech, and they came to the Kodesh HaKodoshim and they saw a shul, they saw a fox coming out. They were crying in Rabbi Akiva's Metzachek. And the Rabbi Akiva explained that the reason is because the Pasuk says in Yeshaya, Vayida li edim nemori mesuria koyin v'scharia ben ivarchio. What's the inyan of Uriah and Scharia? And Chazal and the Gemara understand that Uriah and Scharia, the Scharia that we're talking about, is the Scharia that was in Baisheni in the time of Malachi and etc. So what's the kasher between the two? So the Gemara says like this, as everybody knows, the Nivuah of Uriah says, Lachen Biglalchen Sion Techrosh, saw the Techrosh. The Yerushalayim will be plowed, that's the Klola, that's the Nivuah of Uriah. And Zechariah says in the Nivuah of Yod Yeshu Zkeinim Uzkeinim Zberchoyves Yerushalayim. And the idea is that the Novi is telling you that these two Nivuahs, the Nivuah of Zechariah and the Nivuah of Uriah, were told is Ebezeh. In other words, that for you to have Zkeinim Uzkeinim Yeshu Yerushalayim, you had to have before Tzion Techrosh. And the questions are abound in this Gemara. Number one, how the Bekiva holds it, the Rabbi Kiva's Metzachek, so Rabbi Kiva has no avilus of Tisha B'Av? What do you mean the Bekiva Metzachek? That's the Marshal's Kasha. Besides that, why Davka Shualim? Is Mashma that they saw foxes coming out of the Beis HaMikdash and the foxes were the issue? It would be all the animal, would be okay. And the Pasuk in Echa also stresses the foxes. Al Harzion Sheshomim Shualim Hilchuboy. What's the meaning of Shualim? But also interesting, the Masho asks, is Mashmat Uriah and Zecharia told us that we have tons of Nevuos, tons of prophecies about the Nechom, about Yerushalayim being rebuilt. We have many prophecies about Yerushalayim being destroyed. But there is no clear Zebezeh. The only ones which are told is Zebezeh, the only ones which are dependent on each other is Uriah and Zecharia. So the Marsha asks, why Dafka Uriah and Zecharia told Zebezeh? According to the Pasuk, should be every prophecy of Nechoma should be totally on the prophecies of in the prophecies of the Churban. So this is the first question. The second question is Elitzion Ve'area. We have the part that we say the last. So the last kina that we say, which is debatable why we stand up for it. But we stand up and we break the kina. We see Elitzion ve'area kmo isha b'tzerea. V'chivsulas chazur asak al bar neurea. And the translation is very simple, right? The tzion ve'area, we say the tzion mourns and laments like a woman in her labor pains. And like a besula, which is in sackcloth, for the husband of her youth. So these are the two types of crying. One is Yitza Bitzirea, and the other one, the crying, is like somebody who lost her husband. And Lechora, those are very different kinds of pains. The Isha Bitzirea is a woman who's suffering from the birth pains. She knows that she's going to give birth. That's some kind of a pain. You're right, it's painful, but it's a pain of hope. It's not the pain of desperation. And the other one, you cry for somebody who lost her husband. Meaning losing her husband is something that was lost in the past. There's no hope for the future. So what's the tzushtel? How do you put this thing together? Kmo isha b'tzireya v'chibsulas chazgur asak al ba'al neureya. And the next one is the Birkei Yosef. The Birkei Yosef says the following. He quotes the Arizal. We have the minhag to say psuke nechom. We, at least, our minhag, is that many of the morning halachas, the halachas that we mourn, stop in the afternoon. And one of the ideas is that we say psukim of nechom, we say psukim of consolations. And the shiur knesset agdoila, and the tzed al aderech, they complain, said that doesn't make any sense, because we know the issur of Talmud Torah remains the whole day. We know that there is a Issur Talmud Torah on Tisha B'Av, and that remains for the whole day. So why do we allow to say psukim, to say the psukim, the korbanos, so on and so forth? And the truth is, Avelus stops. We have some Inyone Avelus that stop by Chatzois. We have the Avelus of sitting on the floor. We have the Avelus of reading some of the Psukim. We allow ourselves to see Psukim. Even the Isur Melocha, becomes much more lenient after Chatzois. But many Isuri Avelus remain. The Isur Talmud Torah is clear that remains from Chatzois before Chatzois. And the Isur of Shilah Sholem, and to greet somebody, is also before Chatzois and after Chatzois. So why a few things go away and a few things remain? So that's the question that the Knesset Gdol asked. And the Kosova Rabbi, so he quotes Rabbi Chaim Vital in Shara Kavones that says, Bimincha in Tisha B'Av, the reason we stopped Avelus, because Mashiach was Noilad and Mashiach is called Menachem. So there is something called Nechoma, there is something called consolation at this point in time. And the question is, if that is the case, what does that mean? So Menachem Mashiach was born and every year is born after Chatzois? Meaning, what does that mean? And why is this a Nechoma? And if it is a Nechoma, so Avelus should stop. Why does Avelus only stops halfway, but the Avelus continues? So why is that so? Now, it makes sense that the Isurei Tainis, wearing shoes, and not washing ourselves, that's not Ilchos Avelus. Those are halachas relating to the fast, and the fast remains the whole day. But Ilchos Avelus, for some reason, they go ahead and half of it goes away and half of it remains. And the question is why? And so he says, because Mashiach, which is called Menachem, is Loshon Nechoma, which is consolation, is born after Chatzois. What does that mean? To explain all of this, I think it's important to kind of quote myself at the Maral. The Maral in Sefer HaNetzach, in Perek Chovov, says something fantastic. He says the following. He quotes the Medrash, Medrash Rabbah, Omer Abchiyah, Omer Abchiyah Rabbah, Midchilas B'Rosh HaShalom, Sof HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'Samikdash Bonoi V'Chorev U'Bonoi. From the beginning of the world, there was already the concept that there will be a concept of a Beis HaMikdash, will be a destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and then the Beis HaMikdash should be rebuilt. The Pasuk Breishis Bara Elohim, the Bria, the creation. So the Breishis Bara Elohim, Breishis Bara Elohim is HaKadosh Baruch Hu who creates the Beis HaMikdash. And then we have Va'aretz Ha'isa Toyu Vavoyu, there is this concept of Tov Vavoyu Chorev, and then it says Yehiyoyer, and that's the Beis HaMikdash being built. So says the Maral, the fact that we juxtapose and we compare this to Brias HaOlam, you see something interesting. That the Churban is not just a Churban. The Churban is like the Tohu Vavohu that preceded the creation of the world. So says the Maral that the concept of the Churban is not only the end of a previous era, it's the beginning of a new construction. Because Heder Sibas HaVayo, the destruction is what leads to the construction. You need to have a destruction before construction. So you're right, the destruction is the end of a previous era, but in itself is the beginning of a new era. The same way Breishis Bara Elohim, that's the Bria, and then you have Tohu Vavohu, but the Tohu Vavohu led to Vayehi Or. So says the Maral, Tchilas the Heder is Sibas HaVayom. And he says, why? Because you can never build something on something which is already built. The fact that something is Chorev allows and enables something to be built. So the idea is the same thing is brought in Temura. The Gemara in Temura, and that's Maral quotes, we know that the Beitz of a Treifa is Mutar. And the Gemara has a shaila, why is the beitza, why the egg of an animal which is a treifa is mutar? And the Gemara says, because the egg, before it gives birth to a chick, it actually destroys itself. It actually basically comes to an end. So you never, there's no continuity. Afterwards, the beitza actually spoils and you create something new. All birth and all creation comes from something which is spoiled beforehand. The Aral says that this is the Gemara, this is the Medrash Necharabati. Look at the Medrash Necharabati. Necharabati, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Nun Aleph says like this, Uvda chad havi behar v'benosh davi karodi. There was a person that was plowing. Goz chad turtei, and the animal screamed, and an Arab passed by, and he says, Ma'at, what's happening? Omalei, I'm a Jew, and this is what happened. My ox started screaming. He said, you know something, stop plowing. And he says, why? Because your Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And he says, how do you know that? So he says, I hear from the animal. The animal screamed. It's a sign that the hope is gone. Gos bzim nachrisa. But then the animal, the ox, screamed for a second time. Now you could continue plowing. Because the Mashiach, the one who saves the Jews, was born. So it says, well, what's the idea? The idea is that if the animal screams, there is a churban, and now you already could continue because Noila Pruka Deudoi. So says the Maral, that's the idea. The idea is once there is a churban, there is the churban allows the space to something else to be created. So the churban is not only the destruction of a previous era, it's the beginning of a new era. The question is, how do you understand that? What does that mean, that the churban of a previous era is the beginning of a new era? There are three ways of looking at it. One of them is chronological, right? You can never build something unless there is something destroyed. Okay, so in other words, after something is destroyed, there is a new cycle. That's chronological. It could be also an idea of conditional, that in order for something to be built, you need space to create it. But what you could say is something deeper. The reality of it is that destruction is the beginning of the building. In other words, creation of space, that's how you build something. It's not a condition for something to be built, but this is actually the process of building. And the truth is, the Tishbi, Rabbi Eliyahu Bachur, says that the word haschola, beginning, what is the shortage, what's the root of the word haschola? So the Tishbi says, if you look in our parsha, he re hachiloisi tes lefanecha hachiloisi, which is loshon haschola, the lamed is dogush, the lamed has a dot in it, to tell you that really it's not one lamed, but it's two lameds. Says the Tishbi, haschola always comes from the word cholol. Cholol means space. So aschola means space, cholol. That's why the lamed is dgusha. The beginning of any building is the creation of space. Why is that so? The reason is because Rab Chaim Vital writes the following. Rab Chaim Vital in Yitzchus Chaim, right, that was the Bria Sa'olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what we know about the process of the Bria, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Ritzoino HaPoshut, HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed that He was the entire existence. And then there was a desire to create a world. The desire to create a world, how did that process go of the desire? He created something, the hollow. He created the empty, vacated space. And the vacated space is the beginning of the Bria. Now, says Rab Chaim Vital, it means the following. That on HaKadosh Baruch was the desire. The desire is a general desire. And general desire is the creation in its general format. But once you want to go at the creation that requires definite steps, and is something which is not in general terms, but in particular terms, the beginning of it is the beginning of the cholol. So cholol is the beginning, not a condition. The way how to build it is soiser amnas livnois. You realize that this pattern runs throughout our lives and is so consistent in Torah. We learn kol haTorah kula before we are born, and then we lose it. What's the purpose of teaching and losing it? Because by losing it, you created the desire. You create the void. The creation of the empty space gives you the desire and the drive because you saw what greatness can be. Always, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does in such a way that you have a flash of light. Luchos HaRishonos. Luchos HaRishonos were perfect. But the Maral already says that they were doomed to fail. They were too perfect for us. That's why the Gemara says in Daf Nun Hein Baba Kama doesn't say the letter Tes, because the letter Tes means Toiv, and Toiv means that something will remain forever, and Luchos HaRishonos already were doomed not to remain forever. That's why they were missing the letter Tes. That's why they were missing the letter Tes. So that Luchos is already doomed to fail. Why were they given in the first place? Because by having Luchos HaRishonos, you realize what greatness can be. So when we lost it, it created a void, a desire, a space. That desire of the space that you know what you're aiming for, that's the beginning of the Bria. Because HaKadosh Baruch, when he created the world, he was the same thing. He was Ritzonei Apashut. He wanted to create perfection of beings. He created space to allow that perfection of beings to come up and to exist. Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni, the same idea. Always failure precedes success. And this is not only in Bluchos HaRishonos. This is not only the Brias HaOlam. This is on our individual world. Always, a person knows that Ein Oy Adam Oyim Dal Divrei Torah Elim Ken Nichshal Ben Tchila. First, a person learns and there is a spot of light, and by nature he will fail. And that failure creates the desire, creates the drive. It creates an empty space to allow it to be built. Avelus of the Churban, says the Yoshibir. There are two types of avelus in the Churban. One avelus of the Churban is that we cry for what we have done, for the destruction, for the suffering. And if you look in our kinis, a lot of it is devoted to the crying and to the pain that we suffered. But a lot of the other kinis, if you see from Tzion, Elit Tzion, when you go from the ones on Tzion, or if you go Betzeisim Yerushalayim or Betzeisim Mitzrayim, it's not the avelus for the suffering that we had, but it's the avelus, the feeling of the loss, what we are lacking, what we're missing. It's the feeling that we had the Beis Hamikdash, and we have to realize that we have a void, and it's the desire for what we lost, not the suffering that we had, but what we are missing and the ideas that we can have. Avelus of Yerushalayim, Bishop Ber says, there are two aspects of it. There are two parts of the Avelus. One Avelus is the suffering for the tzores that we had. But one Avelus is a feeling of void, of emptiness, that we saw what greatness can be, and we see what we are lacking and missing. See, always Avelus, when we look in Tisha B'Av, we think, okay, what's the idea of the Avelus? What can we do? So some people watch movies on the Second World War and the suffering and etc. and all the tragedies of Jewish people throughout. That is one type of avelus. But another type of avelus is to realize what the Beis Hamikdash was. We have to realize what we're missing, what we're looking for. We need to create a space. We need to create a void to see what are we missing. So it's not important the suffering that we went through, but with what we lost, what the Beis Hamikdash means. What does it mean, Betzeisi Mimitzrayim? If we look at ourselves in Lawrence, we think to ourselves, what are we missing? We have to understand the Betzeisi Mimitzrayim, how were the Madreg of the Jews in the Beis Hamikdash? What does it mean to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Because then the Avelus is for what we have lost, and we create a space. By creating a space, that in itself, says the Maral, that's in the Nechama. The Avelus is the beginning of the Binyan. By creating a space, by creating a desire, by creating a need. This is the beginning of the building of the Beis Hamikdash. The Shlo writes the following. Look at the Shlo. Says the Shlo. Ketzad u'siman avelus shel Yerushalayim. Meaning, what's the avelus of Yerushalayim, says the Shlo. Shemare bechol pilos b'nei Yerushalayim ki avelus soiser sachurban. Avelus is the idea of stopping the churban. The avelus, says the Shlo, is experiencing, looking, imagining what the Beis Hamikdash is all about. And that's a soiser almas nivnois. This is a stira that in itself is a building. Because Tem says Remel Zadover, because Yerushalayim on the day of Tisha B'Av, Mashiach is Noilad. The Avelus of Tisha B'Av brings about the Mashiach. And that's what the Medrash Rabbah says, and therefore he says, Ainli Sabel Shabbos, we had Shabbos. Just now before Shabbos, it's Shabbos very funny. There's no Avelus. And Seuda HaMafsekes, which is the Seuda that starts Tisha B'Av, we don't do any Avelus. A person doesn't even do anything, right? We eat Kishloimu HaMelech B'Shaitoi. So why? He says, because Binyan the Beis Hamikdash is not Doicha Shabbos. The Avelus is the beginning of the Binyan. For you to feel the loss is Binyan Beis Hamikdash. Binyan Beis Hamikdash is not Doicha Shabbos. So Avelus, it's not what we have lost. Avelus is the beginning of the Binyan. The beginning of Binyan Beis Hamikdash is to create the void, the imagination, the desire. Always rotzon in the Tchilas Abriya. Says the Shlo, that's why there is no Avelus on Shabbos. That's what Tzadok always says. Kol Abisabel al Yerushalayim zoiche veroye benechamosa. He sees the Nechama. It's not that he will see. If you feel what you're missing, you're seeing the Nechama. That's why when that shore screamed, the screaming of the lacking of the Beis Hamikdash, says the Arab, this is the beginning of the Binyan. That's the Nechama. The Avelus in itself is the Tchilas HaNechama. This is the idea of Uriah and Zechariah. The name Zechariah is Zecher. Uriah is light. The Zecher of the Beis Hamikdash creates the Uriah, creates the light. And you know why? What does it say in the Nevuah of Uriah? That the Yerushalayim will be plowed. The destruction of the Beis Hamikdash is plowing. You know the difference between destruction and plowing? Plowing is the preparation for a future planting. So Uriah looks at the Churban not as a destruction, but as plowing for a new reality. And that's totally on Zechariah. And that's why the word Zechariah, or the issue is Kedem, is Kedem, is Yerushalayim, is totally on Uriah. So Zechariah, yes, why specifically Zechariah and Uriah? Because the Zecher, the Zechariah, creates the Oyer, the Uriah. What is the Nevuah of Uriah? That Zion was not destroyed, Zion was plowed. Plowed is that the destruction becomes room for a higher planting. Once you see the Churban as a plowing, you know that Zkeinim Uzkeinus will be Yoisi Birushalayim. And that's Rebbe Akiva. Rebbe Akiva Nechamtan, we asked, according to Rebbe Akiva, what? There is no Avelus? No, Rebbe Akiva is saying the Avelus is the beginning of the Churban. At the beginning of the building. The reason why he said that the Vuaz Atol is Ebezer, because the Zechira, the Avelus, the missing, the lacking, that's the beginning of the building. Rabbi Akiva was Metzachek, because once you have Avelus, the building of the Beis Hamikdash is coming to exist. And that gives us a like in life, okay? Always. If you succeed on something, let's say something new idea comes up, you always have a success, like a eureka moment, and by nature, that will fizzle and you experience, all of us experience a disappointment. And the reason is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a flash of light of success to look at what can be, and then a person feels the lacking, the void, the emptiness, and that emptiness allows him to build a building which is extremely strong. Lahavdil, right, in the world of bonds, right? You had junk bonds. I always say junk bonds were successful beyond any imagination, but then they came crashing down. And everybody realized what they were missing, that these junk bonds were really good. And junk bonds created the market, which today is called the high yield market, which is a million times bigger than it was then. Always is like this. There is an Avelus, which is a backward Avelus. But then there is a forward-looking Avelus. And that's the idea of the Nechoma that we have. Elit Zion ve'areha. We cry in Zion for two things. As a Isha Betzireya, as a woman who is going through her pains of birth. The pain birth, which means the pain is to build something forward. And Kivsulas Chagura Sak al Ba'ne'areha. And somebody crying to the past for losing her husband. Because those are the two parts of the Avelus. There's one Avelus on the past, Ki Isha Psulas Char Gurasak, but the main is Ki Moisha Betzireya. We are crying because these are the pains of birth. The pains of birth is the Avelus. The Avelus is the same way the Isha has pain before she gives birth. That void is the pain of birth. And that's why we stand up at Elit Zion ve'areha, because Elit Zion ve'areha tells you that the Avelus that we are now going to focus on is a positive Avelus going forward, not backwards looking. That's why the Avelus after Chatzois, after we say the Kines, we realize that there is one avelus that the pain doesn't go away here, which is the pain for what happened in the past. So some of the avelus remains. But the avelus which is forward-looking, which is creating a space, a desire, a yearning for something better, we realize that this in itself is a nechoma, is the beginning of the construction and the beginning of the building. We asked, why shu'olim hilchubai? Why dafka foxes? The Gemara in Soita says something about foxes which is amazing. Foxes, unlike all the other animals, when they have a danger, they don't run out, they go backwards. So the Gemara says like this, says the Gemara by Shu'olim, Vayelech Shimshon v'loket shloish mo Shu'olim. Shimshon, we know the famous story of Shimshon, that Shimshon wanted to punish the Plishtim. So what did he do? He took two foxes, and he tied the tails of two foxes together, 300 foxes, to 150 pairs, and he put fire on their tails for them to go ahead and create a huge fire with the Plishtim. So the Gemara is bothered, why did he choose foxes? Why didn't he choose any other animal? So it says like this, Vayilech Shimshon v'loket shloish mo sholim. I always think that this sholim maybe have to do also the shtraimel that's also made out of foxes, right? Why dafka foxes? So the Gemara says, my shna sholim, why dafka foxes? Omar avayvu, yovu mishachoza lachoyrav, take an animal that runs backwards, v'iframi plishtim shechoza b'shvosem, and he who punished the plishtim who also turned away from their shvua. So what the Shu'olim do, the Shu'olim turn backwards. So the Radak says, that's the reason why he put foxes. Because every other animal, when the animal sees that his tail is burning, he'll run out. So these things will split and the fire will fall out. But the fox is the only animal that instead of going forward, it goes backwards. So the foxes went backwards, so they actually created more fire. That's why he lit the tails of two foxes together and he tied them together. That's the idea. The idea of Rebbe Kiva, when they saw the Churban, they realized that after the Churban, instead of looking up, connecting the chashash and the real risk and the real pain, that instead of looking up, we're going to look down. That our lives, instead of moving forward, we are going to be crying and spilled milk before. That instead of looking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for meaning, we'll be tying back. So the fear was that the world would be tied, that the Churban would lead to Shu'olim. Our avelus is to break away from Shu'olim. That's what he says, the nevuah of Uriah and the nevuah of Zechariah told is the bezeh. The Zechariah leads to Uriah. So when we are opposite of Shu'olim, when the fire comes into our tails, we don't look backwards, we move forwards. And that's the tikkun of the Shu'olim. That's why the Churban is a Churban. If Shu'olim milchuboi, if the place of Migdash translates itself into foxes. If we are able to break away from the foxes, and that's Rebbe Kiva, that instead of looking backwards, of running backwards, we'll move forwards. That this, instead of a reason to go back in time, is a reason to use the experience to create a desire to move forward. That's Uriah and Zechariah. That the Churban is not a destruction, it's plowing. Plowing is the creation of a better reality, and that's our avoida. So the avoida of avelus of Tisha B'Av, I think, is very, very clear. The avelus of Tisha B'Av is not only focusing on the destruction. Focus on the destruction is important, and that's part of the avelus. But the second avelus is what Rav Soloveitchik says in his Pirush HaKinnes, is forward-looking. Is looking what we've lost, how far and how great we can be, and using that as the model to create a void, to create a space, to try to create a desire to come and to go into a better and higher reality. And that's our avodah. If we do that, then we have the tikkun of the Beis HaMikdash. We're putting Uriah in Zechariah. Zechariah leads to Uriah. Because the Churban of Uriah is not a Churban of destruction, it's plowing to a better reality. Our Avelus becomes the Tchilas Abinyan. There's no Avelus on Shabbos because Avelus is the exobinyan. If we can imagine how great we can be, that in itself is the beginning of the building. Because every building needs a cholo. A cholo is beloshon haschola. And I always say the Loshon Cholol, right? And that's how the Tishbi says, what letter is Dgusha? The letter Dgusha is the Lamed. You know what the lamed is? The lamed is the only Hebrew letter that pierces through the sirtut. We know that the Hebrew letters are written below the line. English is written above the line. Hebrew letters are written below the line. Except one letter pierces the barrier. It's the letter lamed. The Migdal Shlam is, as Chazal call it, is Migdal HaPoreach Ba'avir. That's the only letter that's allowed to break the sirtut. It's the idea to rise and to break the barriers. That's Haskalah. Haskalah is that when you have a break, when you have an empty space, we don't go backwards. We don't give up. Elamai, we break the barriers and we strive to move up. Haskalah is taking the Lamed, and the Lamed is a double Lamed. That gives us a double reason to move forward. Using the Churban, not to cry on the past, but use this as a model of how great can we be and how we can break the barriers to turn the Lal, says the Tishbi, that is the Shoiresh of the word Haskalah. And that's learned Dafka specifically in Parshas Dvorim. Reach loisi teis lefanecha, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I started to give you something. The Lamed is Dgusha. The Lamed is double. To tell you that the Lamed is our modus operandi. So may HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow us indeed to reflect about the Churban and use the time that we have left on Tisha B'Av to focus on our Tzores. It's great and it's important. But it's important to focus on our greatness, of how great we can be, and to create a desire or yearning, an empty space, because by doing that, this is the Haskalah of the Binyan, and that's when Zecharia leads to Uriah. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow us that this should happen Bekorav.